The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, happy Super Bowl weekend, y'all. We are here. It's always crazy. The season always just flies by, and then it's Super Bowl weekend. So, yes, Super Bowl 60 is this Sunday. How crazy is that to even say Super Bowl 60? I just can't even believe it. But here we are, and we've got the Seattle Seahawks versus the New England Patriots. I'd like to know who had either of those teams picked for their Super Bowl pick at the beginning of the season. My guess is mostly nobody. If you did, you are a Seattle Seahawks super fan or a New England Patriots super fan. But I can guarantee you pretty much nobody had either of these teams barely making the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl. But here we are. And, you know, that's what's so great about the Super Bowl. And that's what's so great about the season. This was one of the weirdest seasons of all time, at least in recent memory that I can remember. It's just at no point was there a team that dominated. At no point was there a team where you were like, that's the Super Bowl winning team. And that's why it's so fitting that the matchup in Super Bowl 60 is Seattle Seahawks versus New England Patriots, because that is not what anybody had. But anyways, let's get into the matchup. Right now, the Seahawks are a 4.5-point favorite, so that just goes to show you the Seahawks. That's a pretty heavy favorite, especially for a Super Bowl. So that just goes to show you a lot of people got their money riding on the Seahawks right now. But let's get into the top five storylines of the Super Bowl and get into that, and then we'll get into my ultimately my predictions on what I think is going to happen in the matchup. So let's obviously start off with the number one topic on Super Bowl 60, and that is Sam Darnold. I mean, this dude, he was the third overall pick by the New York Jets. So he had a lot riding on him. I mean, when you're the third overall pick, that means you are a franchise quarterback. You are expected to turn this team around, and you are expected to do great things. Well, unfortunately, Sam Darnold had a terrible career with the New York Jets, as most players do. So it's actually not Sam Darnold's fault. It's the New York Jets' fault, because they're such a terrible organization. So then he starts meandering his way through the NFL. You know, he goes to the Carolina Panthers as a backup at one point. He goes to the San Francisco 49ers as a backup at one point. And then, you know, Jesus Christ, my fucking dogs are barking. And then he goes to the Minnesota Vikings. And his time with the Minnesota Vikings, it ended up being a great season. He had this huge, phenomenal breakout season that nobody even expected him to have. It could have, and a lot of people didn't really know, is this the system? Is it because he's surrounded by a lot of talent? Or is he really this good? Well, it kind of looks like he might really be that good, because then Minnesota lets him go. Minnesota has an absolutely terrible, atrocious season this year. I mean, they were one of the worst offensive teams flat out this year. And then you got the Seahawks, who just had a very, very solid year. So just a good year from Sam Darnold. So it's really cool to see he goes from down in the dumps, backup, to having a really good year, and then to just having that team, the Vikings, let him go, and having the Seahawks pick him up, and then here he is in the Super Bowl. So that's just a really cool story. I mean, just for me, I think it's a cool story. Simply because I like to see redemption stories like that, because I've always found it amusing how some people harp on certain players right out the gate. And it's like sometimes it's not their fault if their career starts out shitty, or ends up going not the way we all expect it, because sometimes it's coaching. Sometimes it's an organization doesn't make smart moves. And just sometimes you have to end up in the right spot. And it looks like Sam Darnold finally ended up in the right spot. And here he is, goes from bottom of the barrel to now potentially winning a Super Bowl. So that's a really cool story with Sam Darnold. Then the next topic, I believe, that is a big topic here for Super Bowl 60 is Mike Vrabel, the coach of the New England Patriots, could potentially become the first player slash coach to win a Super Bowl as a player and a coach. Because if you don't know, Mike Vrabel, he was a linebacker with the New England Patriots in their first half of their dynasty. He won a couple Super Bowls with them. And then he became a coach. He did very well with the Tennessee Titans. I still to this day can't believe that they got rid of him, but that's neither here nor there. Here he is with the New England Patriots. In his first season with the New England Patriots, he took a very, I would say, mediocre team. This New England Patriots roster is not a very talented roster. Defensively, very talented roster. Offensively, they're pretty mediocre for the most part. But this guy has them in the Super Bowl and playing very, very, very solid football. I mean, this is a complete 180 from where they were. I think they had 4 wins on the season last year, one of the worst teams in the league last year. So this is a big deal. If Mike Vrabel not only turns this team around the way he did, he's going to become the first player slash coach to win a Super Bowl as a player and a coach. And that's pretty cool. That's a pretty big deal, especially at Super Bowl 60, 6-0, we might see something happen for the first time ever. And that could be Mike Vrabel winning the Super Bowl as a head coach of the New England Patriots with the same team, by the way. It wouldn't be him with a different team. It's with the New England Patriots. That's who he won the Super Bowls with as a player. And now he could potentially win as a coach with the New England Patriots. How crazy is that? Then our third storyline of Super Bowl 60 I have is probably the top player matchup that we're going to see is going to be between the Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba versus New England Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez. These are two top picks, y'all. These are number one picks for their teams. And they show out. Christian Gonzalez has been in the league for a few years now, and he's been good every single year. Even when the Patriots were a terrible team, Christian Gonzalez has showed out every single game that dude plays in. The only thing that stops Christian Gonzalez are injuries. Other than that, that dude is solid as a rock. But JSN, same with him. He is one of the top receivers in the game. He led the league in receiving. He was such a great player, very consistent for the Seattle Seahawks. And it's going to be interesting to see who wins the battle between these two, because they are the top tier players at their positions. And one of them has to get the better of the two. Who do I think is going to get the better of the two, though? That's very difficult to say because, you know, this New England Patriots defense is why they're in the Super Bowl. I mean, there's many reasons why, but this defense has really kept them in each and every single game. And Christian Gonzalez has been huge. He has made some key plays in some big games. But same with JSN. JSN is that dude where you just throw him the ball and chances are he's got the ball. You don't even really have to put the ball on the mark. He is right there to get it. He's fast as hell too. He's super talented. So who's going to get the better of the two? I think it's going to be JSN. I'm leaning more towards JSN in this one just because of this is an offensive league. But these are two top tier defenses, so I definitely expect to see some great defense. But I'm just leaning towards JSN in this one. Just because he's had a phenomenal year, and I just don't really see anybody stopping him at this point. Then the fourth topic I have on Super Bowl 60 is, will anyone remember who Mike McDonald is? Do you know who Mike McDonald is? Well, he's the coach of the Seattle Seahawks. As a huge football fan, I know so much about football. I know a lot about football. I am a big, big, big football fan. If I really can't remember who you are, there's a problem. And that's the thing about Mike McDonald. I almost forgot where he came from, as a matter of fact. You know, he's been the Seahawks coach for two seasons now. This is his second season with the Seattle Seahawks. But I remember when he even got the job, I was like, who? And that's how most of us are with Mike McDonald, is most of us don't know who the hell this guy is. Now, he was the defensive coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens prior to becoming the coach of the Seattle Seahawks. And this Seahawks defense ain't nothing to fuck with. This is a stout, sick, motherfucking defense. And he's carried that on over here. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny. Since he left the Ravens as the defensive coordinator, they have not been that good on the defensive side of the ball. So are we going to remember Mike McDonald? Now, if he wins, there's a very good chance we're going to remember him. But even if he wins, I still think there's going to be a lot of people who are like, who? Who's Mike McDonald? If he loses, that's definitely going to be the case. But right now, you know, if he wins, he's got a good chance of finally being a guy that people are like, oh, that's Mike McDonald. But yeah, he's that guy where we're all, myself included, who are like, who's Mike McDonald? Where did he come from? Oh, that's right. All right, and then my last topic on Super Bowl 60 is this a fluke season or is this the future of the NFL? Because like I said, this was a weird year from all of the teams in this year. There really was not, even when you break down, because I'm going to talk about the MVP and all that stuff here after this. But it's like, even when you break it down, there really wasn't a standout player. There really wasn't a standout team. There really wasn't a standout anything this year. There were teams that lost in weird ways. There were teams that won in weird ways. It was just such a weird year. And so is this, and like I said, this matchup is weird too. Seattle versus the Patriots. What the fuck is this? There isn't like a standout player on either team, by the way. There is no Tom Brady here. There is no Patrick Mahomes here. There is none of that type of storyline in this. I mean, this New England Patriots team is not the same Patriots team we've been talking about. Now, this is not that same Seahawks team that won the Super Bowl a few years ago themselves. This is a completely different squad. So is this a fluke year where just two random teams just happen to end up there, and the next year we're going to be back to the Kansas City Chiefs are back to dominating everybody's ass or whatever? Or is this finally a new direction that we're headed? Because there's always an end to dynasties. There's always an end to careers. There's always an end to superstar runs. And then there's always a new future on the horizon. So are we here? Is this the year where we have something new? I think the last time where we had like a very, like a crazy mix-up of teams who won the Super Bowl, I think it was after Super Bowl 40, I want to say, in that era between like 40 and 50, it's like a lot of random teams that won. There wasn't really like consecutive teams winning. And I kind of feel like that's what we're going to see here, is that like this year we've got Seattle versus New England. Now you look at both of these teams. Is this the future for both of these teams, or is this a fluke year for both of these teams? Is this a fluke year for both of these coaches? Is this a fluke year for both of these quarterbacks? So it's like you can actually ask that with both of these teams. You can ask that with the NFL just in general. Is this going to be where we go on like a 10-year run where it's like random team, random team, random team, or whoever wins this Super Bowl, say it's the Seahawks, is this going to become the next great dynasty? Or is this, like I said, just a fluke year? That's what I'm interested to see here, because this whole season has just blown my mind from start to finish. There's just been so many weird things going on this year that it's like, is this the tides turning finally? Are we done with the Kansas City Chiefs, or is this just a fluke year for them? Do we have new teams on the horizon? Not even just like, because you mean you look at like teams like the Baltimore Ravens and Buffalo Bills. Those are two teams that have been dominating and been Super Bowl contenders over the last couple of seasons. And then, well, the Ravens didn't even make the playoffs and they ended up firing their coach. And then the Bills made the playoffs but didn't have that great of a run and then ended up firing their coach. So is this a new horizon for them? It's just, there's a lot of questions that I look at in the NFL. And is this a fluke year, or are we just in for more of the same next year? We'll see, obviously. I'm intrigued to see what happens after this Super Bowl and see what happens in the future. So now let's get into the matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. Like I said, the Seahawks are a 4.5-point favorite, and I think that is a good barometer, just because, like I said about the Patriots did catch a lot of lucky breaks along the way, and you need that sometimes to win. And this, to me, when I say that, I am not dissing the Patriots. You do not magically get to the Super Bowl and that's that. No, you actually earn your way to the Super Bowl. Everybody earns their spot here. So they absolutely earn their spot. But they did. They had an easy-ass schedule. Then once they hit the playoffs, you know, they played a terrible Los Angeles Chargers team with a terrible offensive line that just couldn't block for shit. Then when they played the Denver Broncos, they get a backup quarterback. They don't even get the starting quarterback. So it's like they did get a lot of lucky breaks along the way. Whereas the Seattle Seahawks, to me, are actually a complete team. Defensively, one of the best in the league. I mean, they get at the quarterback. They cause turnovers, they cause problems, and they cause overall havoc. I expect this Seattle Seahawks defense to score a touchdown in this game. I expect this Seattle Seahawks defense to wreak havoc on Drake May. That is what I'm expecting. But then you turn to their offense, and their offense is actually very, very good. You know, they've had their terrible moments. I've pointed out that there was a game where Sam Darnold had 4 interceptions, but then there's also games where he has 4 touchdowns. But it's not just him. JSN, one of the top tier receivers in the league. Then you turn to their running back. I mean, they are so good on the ground. They have such a fantastic offensive line, and they just play very well on the offensive side of the ball. They don't make a lot of mistakes offensively, and they're just very, very smart offensively as well. They've won a couple of games simply by being smart this season, and so that's another thing with them, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But to me, what I think is going to be kind of like the game-changing difference in this one is the Seattle Seahawks special teams. Because they have this guy named Rashid Shaheed. They traded for him back in November. This guy didn't even start the season off with them. He was with the New Orleans Saints. As a matter of fact, he had a pretty damn good year with the Saints beforehand. This guy is a special teams phenom. You cannot let this guy get going, because once he gets going, he is gone. And that's what I think is going to be the kicker in this one. I'm not saying he's going to score a touchdown in this one. Wouldn't be shocked if he did, but I have a feeling there's going to be a couple of run backs he has that sets up the Seattle Seahawks offense in good field position and gets them a couple of easy scores that I think is going to be the difference in this one. Also, I think the Seahawks defense is going to be the difference in this one, because the New England Patriots offense is not that good. Drake May, he is good. Their offensive line, okay. Their running attack, very good. But their receivers are very, very inconsistent, and I just don't think they're going to be able to handle what the Seattle Seahawks defense has in store for them. I think the Seattle Seahawks defense is going to make it a very, very difficult day for Drake May. And I think it's going to pretty much be all Seattle all day. I don't think it's going to be an ass-kicking by any means, but I don't think at any point New England's going to have the upper hand in this one. And I think Seattle's going to ride pretty. I think their defense is going to be a force. I think their special teams is going to be the difference in this one. And I think their offense is going to do enough. I think their ground attack is going to take over the clock and give them the time of possession. I think they're going to win that. And I just think they're going to make all the right plays. And I've got the Seattle Seahawks beating the New England Patriots 27-17 in this one. And I'm going with an oddball MVP in this one, because there is somebody in particular I'm rooting for in this one. Because as a football fan, if you played for my Cowboys and you were a player who gave your all and I just genuinely respected and loved, if you are no longer a Cowboy and you go somewhere else, I will root for you. Like DeMarcus Ware, for example. Years ago, DeMarcus Ware, he was a beautiful, amazing defensive end we used to have. And then unfortunately, we had to let him go, and he went and played for the Denver Broncos, and he actually played in Super Bowl 50 and ended up winning the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. And I was super happy for him because he did so much for the Cowboys. I can't hate against that. And there is a player who plays for the Seattle Seahawks who I feel the exact same way about. As a matter of fact, his first name is the exact same name as DeMarcus Ware, except this guy is DeMarcus Lawrence. He used to be a defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, and he played his heart out as a Dallas Cowboy. I loved DeMarcus Lawrence his entire career with us, and I was upset when we had to let him go, but that's just the way things worked out. And all season, I've been so stoked for him because he's had such a great year. He's had a couple of plays where he's caused like fumbles, touchdowns. He has had a phenomenal year, and every time he does something big, I'm right there rooting for him because that dude is a beast mode motherfucker, and I am happy for him that he's having a great year, and I have DeMarcus Lawrence as my Super Bowl MVP, because that's what's the great thing about the Super Bowl MVP. Any random motherfucker can win, and I think D-Law is going to be the reason why the Seahawks get the win. I think he's going to have a fumble, and I think he's going to have a fumble that could potentially be like a fumble for 6 points or something of that nature. I just see D-Law having a big game, and he's my Super Bowl MVP pick, just because I wanted to pick somebody different, but also I love the dude. I'm totally rooting for him. I'm rooting for the Seahawks. Not only for him, but I hate the Patriots. I've always been a Patriot hater. I'm actually pissed off that the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl this quick of a turnaround. It just pisses me the fuck off. And I don't want to see them win. I don't want to see them here. I'm pissed off that they're even here. So I am rooting for the Seattle Seahawks in this matchup, for not only for DeMarcus Lawrence, but also because I am a Patriot hater. So there you go. Also, our halftime entertainment is Retarded Rabbit. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, Bad Bunny. If you can't tell, that means I think he sucks, which I do think he sucks. I think he is an absolutely atrocious choice for the Super Bowl halftime show. And I know this as a fact by this entire week leading up to the Super Bowl. So when they go to commercial breaks, when you're watching like NFL Network, for example, they usually play the halftime entertainment music heading into the commercial breaks. Almost every commercial break, they have to tell us it's a Bad Bunny song. They have to tell us that. That goes to show you not a lot of people here in America give two shits in a fuck about his music. But then also, my favorite thing that's happened all week long, because since they don't have anything really to talk about, they interview a whole lot of people. So you'll see them interview athletes, entertainers, actors, and stuff, and they ask every single person, "Are you excited about Bad Bunny?" The majority of the people's answer is, "I don't even know who Bad Bunny is, and I couldn't name a Bad Bunny song." And that's how I feel about him. I'm a person who's actually in the music industry, and I look at numbers and charts, and I know who people who I don't even listen to are, and I know his name. I call him Retarded Rabbit for a reason, but his music is lame as fuck, and I couldn't name a song of his. So this is going to be one of the many halftime shows, because this is me when it comes to music. If I think you suck, I have no interest in watching you, and this goes for everybody. And over my entire lifetime of watching the Super Bowl, I changed the channel if you are a person I don't want to watch. And so during Retarded Rabbit, I'm probably going to watch like SpongeBob SquarePants or something like that, because I couldn't give two shits in a fuck about this idiot's fucking performance. As a matter of fact, here's how I feel about Retarded Rabbit. I imagine his entire performance, he's going to have Diddy's load square in the middle of his back his entire performance. So that's how I feel about Retarded Rabbit and his performance coming up for halftime. So, yeah, that's gonna be a great one, y'all. As a matter of fact, I think it's gonna be one of the most forgettable halftime shows of all time. That I'm going on record as saying that right now. Most forgettable halftime show ever. Retarded Rabbit. So let's move on to the NFL end of season awards, because they handed those out last night. So the MVP award ended up going to quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford. To me, absolutely, he deserved it. It was a close matchup, but he won by one vote over Drake May. I don't think Drake May deserved it. Plus, Drake May is playing in the Super Bowl, so what the fuck does he care? Matthew Stafford would probably rather be playing in the Super Bowl himself. But Matthew Stafford was overall the most consistent and best player this entire season, so he absolutely deserved it. Offensive player of the year went to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the wide receiver of the Seattle Seahawks. So not only one of the best receivers in the league, obviously, that goes to show when you win Offensive Player of the Year. Then Defensive Player of the Year went to exactly who it should have gone to. Defensive end of the Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett. He broke the all-time sack record, so absolutely, Myles Garrett deserved it. Coach of the Year, 100% deserved to go to Mike Vrabel, because greatest turnaround you will ever see in the league. I mean, New England Patriots, worst team in the league last year, to now playing in the Super Bowl this year. Comeback player of the year went to Christian McCaffrey, running back of the San Francisco 49ers. He missed all of last year due to an Achilles injury, I believe it was. The dude's had so many crazy injuries over his career, it's hard to keep up. But he definitely deserved it, especially because it was nice to see him get through an entire season without a shitty, debilitating, horrifying injury. Because that's the thing that sucks about Christian McCaffrey, man. The dude is such a great, fun running back to watch, but since he's such a bruiser, he gets hurt all the time. But it was nice to see him make it through an entire season without any type of injury this year. He did have a couple of minor things here and there, but I kind of feel like that's every player in the NFL. Then Offensive Rookie of the Year went to the wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, Teteroa McMillan. This guy, I like what I see from this guy. I like what I see from this guy. He's Offensive the Rookie of the Year, but if the Panthers get one more receiver with him, if they get one in the draft, or if they find one in free agency this year, oh my God, look out. I'm serious. Look out for this Carolina Panthers offense. If they just get one more explosive receiver up on the opposite side of McMillan, this is going to be super explosive. And that tells you, I mean, McMillan had a phenomenal year. Nobody knew that this guy was going to be good. And he played for the Panthers. The Panthers, they did have an up and down year, but tell me who had Teteroa McMillan as their Offensive Rookie of the Year before the season started? I don't think anybody did. And then our Defensive Rookie of the Year, this one was another one where I was like, what? Carson Schwesinger of the linebacker of the Cleveland Browns. That just goes to show you what kind of a defense the Cleveland Browns had this year, with Defensive Player of the Year Myles Garrett and Defensive Rookie of the Year Carson Schwesinger. He had a phenomenal year, breakout year, and obviously, he deserved it because Defensive Rookie of the Year. Now, let's get into even better news. You know, last week I ranted about how stupid it was Bill Belichick didn't get into the Hall of Fame. But today we are going to praise the five players who got inducted into the 2026 Class Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame. Congratulations to all five. All five are deserving. A couple first-timers here. And one on this list who I am super, super happy for, because he had to wait so, so long. And he is a dude who absolutely deserved it. But let's begin. We're just going to go in alphabetical order. So number one inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, Drew Brees. Played quarterback. Mostly we know him with the New Orleans Saints, but he did play with the San Diego Chargers as well. One of the best quarterbacks of all time, hands down. It's Super Bowl winning quarterback, completely turned around the New Orleans Saints organization, had one of those type of things that happened, you know, like I was talking about Sam Darnold earlier, how he's, you know, had that terrible downfall and then he's come back. Here he is in the Super Bowl. Well, it's kind of the same thing with Drew Brees. You know, he had that, you know, terrible injury heading out into San Diego and goes into free agency. Almost nobody picks him up. The New Orleans Saints take a shot on him, and he turns that organization around, wins them a Super Bowl, and here he is, first ballot Hall of Famer, as he should be. So congratulations to Drew Brees. Then, next guy. This is long, long awaited, and that is running back Roger Craig. We mostly know him as a San Francisco 49er. What sucks for Roger Craig is most of his career is overshadowed because he played on the dynasty team of the 80s with the San Francisco 49ers. And that, of course, had Joe Montana and Jerry Rice on that team. And, you know, like Ronnie Lott's, and there were a whole bunch of amazing players, but Roger Craig always gets overshadowed. And Roger Craig was the dude at running back for this team. I mean, he was, I believe, I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive, he is the first running back to have a 1,000-yard rushing season and a 1,000-yard receiving season in the same year. So, like, that alone just goes to show you what a dude Roger Craig was. So I am super happy for Roger Craig. He finally got in because, like, there are some of these dudes, and then there's still some of these dudes, but I'm keeping it positive. I'm not going to rant about the guys who didn't make it. This is positive. But Roger Craig has been one of those dudes who's been waiting, and every year you're like, you passed over Roger Craig again. Come on, man. Let him in. So when I saw Roger Craig made it, I was most happy to see his name on there just because he's waited so long and he absolutely deserves it. So congratulations to Roger Craig. Then Larry Fitzgerald was the next first ballot Hall of Famer, and that is hands down should be. Larry Fitzgerald is the greatest receiver of the era that he was in. Larry Fitzgerald played with the Arizona Cardinals and he never complained. He played with the Cardinals when they were the worst team in the league. He played with the Cardinals when they made a great playoff run. And by the way, the playoff run that they made when they went to the Super Bowl unfortunately fell short and lost. But Larry Fitzgerald was the king of that playoffs. That every game he played in, he was the difference maker, including the Super Bowl that they lost. Larry Fitzgerald was one of the most reliable, amazing receivers ever. I mean, he could go deep. He could cross over the middle. His hand, he never dropped a pass. You knew if you just threw it in Larry Fitzgerald's vicinity, he was catching it. He played with like 375 different quarterbacks throughout his career and was great with all 375 of them. He had like 375 offensive coordinators throughout his career. He was great with all of them. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, there are not enough great things to say about wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald. And it's nice that they actually showed respect to a wide receiver, because the wide receivers get disrespected all the time, especially when it comes to first ballot. And Larry Fitzgerald, thankfully, was not disrespected. Then we had Luke Kuechly, linebacker of the Carolina Panthers. Now, what sucks about Luke Kuechly's career, it was cut short because he was one of those dudes who just was always injured, and then he just suffered some really debilitating injuries towards the end of his career, and he just had to retire. But Luke Kuechly is everything you ever wanted in a linebacker. He was just all over the field. He was a captain. He was the dude. He was the dude at linebacker. And so congratulations to Luke Kuechly. And then last but not least, this year we have the greatest kicker of all time, played for the New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts, Adam Vinatieri. He absolutely deserves to get into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he is the greatest kicker to ever do it. And here he is in the Hall of Fame. And those five guys all absolutely deserved it. And good class. And like I said, though, for me personally, love to see Roger Craig in there. All right, so let's talk about NBA. We had some great games, but we also had some pretty big trades because the trade deadline was yesterday. I'm not going to go over every trade. I'm really only going to go over a couple of the major trades. And one of them to me is just so laughable and so typical. So let's start off with on Monday, we'll start off with the Charlotte Hornets. They just keep on winning. They got a win over the New Orleans Pelicans, 102-95. That is actually their seventh win in a row. LaMelo Ball had 24 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. And Con Knipple had 17 points and 9 rebounds. And the Charlotte Hornets just keep on moving. Who knows? Could just be one of those fluke things that's happening before the All-Star break. But who knows? Maybe they'll actually also be one of those teams who maybe makes a little bit of a playoff run here towards the once we hit the second half of the season. Who knows? But they're playing some solid basketball right now. Then also on Monday, the Houston Rockets took down the Indiana Pacers 118-114. Shane Goon, 39 points and 16 rebounds. This guy is a monster in the paint, but he could just also score like crazy. And then Amen Thompson had a huge night as well, 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. Then the Philadelphia 76ers took down the Los Angeles Clippers 128-113. Tyrese Maxey had 29 points. Joel Embiid had 24 points. I'm telling you, Joel Embiid looking really good this year. Hopefully he stays healthy because I would like to finally see a healthy year from Joel Embiid and finally see just if he can make a nice little solid playoff run and get this, elevate this 76ers team to another level because, you know, Maxey's playing great. Then they also got some production from Barlow as well, 26 points and 16 rebounds. They're getting some good production from some of these dudes here. So if Embiid is just able to stay healthy, I'm liking what I'm seeing from the 76ers team. Then on Tuesday, the big trade on Tuesday night that made me laugh and just also is not surprising at all. James Harden was traded from the Los Angeles Clippers to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Darius Garland. I do not know why the Cleveland Cavaliers made this trade. That's why I'm laughing because James Harden is just, he's so typical. He is exactly what you expect. I mean, He never works out anywhere. It always ends stupidly, and I don't know why Cleveland is trading for him. Yes, I know Darius Garland has been having to deal with injuries all season, but I will take Darius Garland over James Harden any day of the week. James Harden is a fantastic basketball player in certain instances, mostly the regular season, but he's terrible in the playoffs, and he's not a good teammate, and he just... I can't believe you would trade away a young, solid player like Darius Garland for James Harden, a washed-up dude who's... he's in terrible shape. His claim to fame is going to strip clubs, and I just don't get it. That was so laughable and so stupid for the Cleveland Cavaliers to do, and... You know, I was talking about it even before they made the trade. Like, if they make a trade, they just need to make it a trade for somebody who can kind of help out Donovan Mitchell. And yeah, he's probably going to help out Donovan Mitchell in certain instances. But once the playoffs begin, is this idiot even going to be in shape? Is he going to be able to do anything? I kind of doubt it. But good luck with that, Cleveland. But the Los Angeles Clippers, on the other hand, it looks like they're in rebuild mode as usual because they are forever in rebuild mode with the Clippers. So moving on to some games from Tuesday night, the Detroit Pistons had a great game against the Denver Nuggets. They got the win 124-121. Cade Cunningham had 29 points and 10 assists. Jalen Duran had 19 points and 13 rebounds. And just an overall solid win from the Detroit Pistons and a huge win over a really solid Denver Nuggets team who did have Jokic and Murray and all their players playing in that one. Then also on Tuesday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder got a win over the Orlando Magic, 128-92. SGA had 20 points and 9 assists. Hartenstein had 12 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds. Chet Holmgren had 16 points and 10 rebounds. It was just an all-around great team win from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then we had another big trade on Wednesday. This time it was Anthony Davis was traded from the Dallas Mavericks to the Washington Wizards. So we'll see what happens with AD. You know, he was already injured, so he's still injured, so he's not going to be playing right now. I've actually even been reading that the Wizards may actually not play him at all this season, which would be kind of coincidental because last year, you know, he was traded last year at this time. And then the Mavericks played him a couple games. He got injured, and then they sat him for the rest of the season. And then it looks like it's going to happen the same thing with him in this one. And I don't know. I think it sucks for Anthony Davis because he goes from the Lakers to the Mavericks to now the Wizards. And for some reason, a lot of people are looking at the Wizards as, oh my God, look at all the moves they made because they traded for Trae Young a couple weeks ago as well. And it's like, okay, do we really think the Wizards are going to be a good team? They kind of have to prove it to me, but I think it sucks for Anthony Davis just because he's just been getting thrown around and at the trade deadline, and it's like he probably just feels like shit right now. And then to top it off, he's injured as well, as he usually is, but I mean, come on. I just think it probably sucks to be him right now. Just he's getting thrown around everywhere, and it's probably difficult to get comfortable at this point in time with his career. Then on Wednesday, the New York Knicks took down the Denver Nuggets in a double overtime win, 134-127. They got their eighth win in a row. Jalen Brunson, huge game, 42 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds. Karl Anthony Towns had a huge game as well, 24 points and 12 rebounds. Jokic, 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists. And then Jamal Murray had 39 points. It was just a battle between those four players, and the New York Knicks just ended up getting the better of the Nuggets in that one, 134-127. And also on Wednesday night, the Boston Celtics got a big win over the Houston Rockets, 114-93. And they didn't even have Jaylen Brown in this one. White had a huge game, 28 points. Pritchard had 27 points. And it was really just straight domination by the Boston Celtics overall. And you definitely want to get that kind of a win with no Brown, because he's been their dude all season long. And you've been kind of wondering, are the Celtics even going to be a good team if Brown actually happens to suffer some type of debilitating injury? Then also on Wednesday night, the San Antonio Spurs beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 116-106. Unfortunately, in this one, there was no SGA because he has suffered an injury himself. It looks like an oblique injury. They're going to reassess him after the All-Star break. So we'll see. It doesn't look like it's going to be anything really that's going to keep him out for a long time. But as you could see, it was a big deal for them in this game against the San Antonio Spurs. Victor Wembanyama had 22 points and 14 rebounds, and Keldon Johnson had 25 points. And it was just an all-around nice, solid game from the San Antonio Spurs. Then on Thursday night, the Washington Wizards got a big win over the Detroit Pistons, of all teams, 126-117. And none of the players they traded for were even playing in this one. As a matter of fact, their standout player is a dude I've never even heard of. His name is Will Riley. He had 20 points in this game. It was a career high for him. So that just goes to show you how terrible the Washington Wizards are. But hey, big win for them over the top team in the Eastern Conference, over the Detroit Pistons. Then on Thursday night, the Charlotte Hornets kept on winning. They actually got their eighth win in the row over the Houston Rockets, 109-99. Con Knipple had 24 points in this one, and LaMelo Ball had 20 points. Then also Thursday night, the San Antonio Spurs got a big win over the Dallas Mavericks, 135-123. Victor Wembanyama had 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. Harrison Barnes had 19 points. Stephon Castle had 18 points. This was another overall amazing team game from the San Antonio Spurs. And then the Los Angeles Lakers got a win over the Philadelphia 76ers, 119-115. We finally got Austin Reeves back, which we needed, and he had 35 points and 6 rebounds and was a huge difference maker in the fourth quarter down the stretch there. LeBron James also had 17 points and 10 assists. Unfortunately, we get Austin Reeves back, and Luka Doncic gets injured in this one. Not sure what the status is. He's supposed to get an MRI today. Didn't look like it was terrible, but who knows at this rate. But still, kind of sucks. We get Reeves back, and then Luka heads right on out. And it happened early on in the game, too, so that kind of sucked. But we'll see what happens. But it was nice to see Reeves. Reeves looked damn good. But it sucked to see Luka go out because I want to see Luka and Reeves are so much fun to watch together. And so to see Luka get injured in last night's game just really sucked. But, you know, who knows what happened? We don't have the MRI results, at least before I started recording this, we didn't have it. So we'll see what happens with Luka, but hopefully it's not a bad injury that's going to keep him out that long. All right, y'all, enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy Super Bowl 60. And, you know, this is it. This is it for football season, y'all. And then it's on to sports fan purgatory, which is the worst time of year to be a sports fan. So enjoy Super Bowl 60. Enjoy the weekend of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.